Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and thank you for tuning in to our Thursday night programming of Totally Driven Radio. Heh, but why wouldn't you tune into the greatest show heard all around the world?
Monday, and it's time for Totally Driven Radio. Bay Ragney here. I am your host, and I got a special show for you tonight. It's a fun show. It's an exciting show, and it's an incredible interview. That is the show, because it's all that wrapped in one. I got the chance about a week and a half ago to talk with Mr. Michael D'Alessio, and he is the man behind Promo Guys Marketing, as well as the Atlantic City Boardwalk Con, which is coming up this weekend, May 13th through the 15th at the AC Convention Center. And I've always wanted to, like, talk to somebody at the inner goings of one of these conventions. You know, the true behind the scenes, like, what goes into making a convention? How do you deal with this situation and that situation and setting up booths and, you know, the fun, the games, the interactiveness, and everything that goes along with dealing with it, including all the BS? Well, with this interview, we learn it all. Michael is an incredible interview, and I would love to be able to interview him again, because this interview went on for a little while, and believe me, it probably could have went on for easy another 1 or 2 hours, if not more. It's just, to me at least, an interesting topic, because I love going to the conventions. I loved last year's debut, AC Boardwalk Con, and I thought it was a really fun convention, and it was one that really stood out in my mind out of all last year, especially being the fact that it was the first one. So they're back for year two. And, you know, like I said, it's this weekend. And I just want to say this real quick. Make sure to get your geek on this weekend at the Atlantic City Boardwalk Con. They're going to be celebrating comics, cosplay, and all things geek. And it's all happening May 13th through the 15th at the AC Convention Center. Tickets are on sale right now at doacbc.com, where you can also find a complete list of events, guests, and you can be sure to follow ACBC on Twitter, Facebook, at DoACBC for updates up to the minute. So be a part of the action. Go to DoACBC.com for your tickets today. And you know what? They gave me some tickets to give away, so I think maybe I'll give away a pair of weekend passes at some point during this show. Let me figure out what I'm going to do. All right. So at this point, let's start playing this interview with Michael D'Alessio.
Hello, it's Michael.
Michael, how you doing? It's Bay, Total Vision Radio.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, it's been a long day of interviews.
I can imagine.
So I don't have these press do it.
Are you doing all interviews about that convention or
about this convention,
all the other things
yeah.
you work on.
No, mostly about this convention.
Well,
I was down at the radio station at like 5 a.m. this morning and, you know, was ready to be on air for them, and I was down on for like 2 hours. So, you know, it's been a long day. Yeah, but I'm happy to talk to you.
Awesome. So, all right, well, you know what, let's talk about you first and get a little background on you, and then we'll get into the
Are you taking notes or are you recording?
This is recording right now.
Okay, great.
So you are the president and the founder of the Promo Guys Marketing.
I am. I founded the company.
How did you get involved with the whole marketing thing, and why did you decide to form your own?
Well, I worked in marketing from the time I graduated college in 94 from Monmouth, which is on the Jersey Shore. I started working in promotion marketing, and with the exception of a brief one-year stint over at BarnesNoble.com in the 90s when everybody went to the internet, I was always in marketing. So after 9/11 and having been caught in it and having to deal with the aftermath of that, I decided I was going to open my own business. It was more time to live for me than climb the corporate ladder. So it took me about another year and a half to do it, but I did, and I'm in business 13 years now plus, and it's been fantastic. And we retain most of our clients like well over 8 to 10 years. I mean, I'm with Marvel 10 years this year. Yeah, for a small five-person company in Red Bank, New Jersey, to handle all of the events for Marvel at Comic-Cons around the country, that's a huge deal.
Holy, you know what? As I was going through and I was seeing like all the companies you worked for and all, I'm thinking you got like a nice sized, a little company here, but there's only five of you?
It's actually four full-time and one intern.
That's impressive.
And every one of my employees started as an intern.
Really?
That's yep. Awesome. I didn't have any clients when I started the business. Bush went to war 3 days after I opened the company. It was very hard to make money. I was personal training and doing massage therapy to offset my rent and my car payments. But I just stuck with it. And thankfully, you know, having had like 10 years of experience plus working in New York helped me, and some connections helped me. And, you know, it all worked out. So every day is a challenge, but every day is a great day.
I'm sure. Now, like you said, you do work with Marvel, and you've done Comic-Cons around the country. Were you a comic fan before you started
working
with
that? From the time I could watch TV. You know, I grew up in Manhattan, well, Staten Island, Manhattan TV district, right? So, you know, we had, five channels back in the 70s. So I was able to watch Saturday morning cartoons, and it was the Super Friends, and I was head over heels in love with Super Friends. I used to take hefty bags, the black hefty bags, and cut triangles out of the bottom of them and tie them around my neck and jump off the second story of our house when I was like 5 years old trying to be Batman. I never met a telephone pole I didn't try to slide down like Batman. And there wasn't a piece of rope that I didn't have that wasn't a lasso like Wonder Woman. It was a pure love of mine. And then I discovered, you know, the Batman series and the Wonder Woman TV show and Isis and Shazam and all that. Electra Woman and Dinah Girl and stuff like that that was on in the 70s when I was between 5 and like 8 years old, and it just cemented my entire life. The Bionic Man, Bionic Woman cemented my life. And at 43, I'm making a living and supporting other people in my company making livings and their families off of my love of my comics. And I actually met Lindsay Wagoner for the Bionic Woman. I met her multiple times. So the first time I met her, I actually walked up to her, and I think it was like 38 years old, and I just started crying, which was not like me at all. I didn't cry during 9/11, and I just had tears coming down my face, and she's like, are you okay? I'm like, I support an entire company based on the fact that I fell in love watching your show when I was a kid. And she was so touched by it, so touched by it. Lee Majors couldn't have cared, but you know, but she was very touched by it. Also, tried to get me to buy a Sleep Number bed, but yes, she was definitely she was great. So,
that's awesome. That's an awesome story.
Yeah, you know, I love it, and you know, I have been drawn into the Wonder Woman comic book 6 times as an ongoing character with my name. Speaking part,
really?
I would guess you would. Yeah, I've been on the cover twice. Gail Simone did it for me, the writer. She actually was scared to ask me if I could be in it, and she had her husband ask me instead if I would be okay being in it. And I was so flattered and so touched that, once again, the tears come down. I never cry in this story twice already. I'm crying. It was so touching. You know, it was great. I'm a huge Wonder Woman fan. I have a tattoo of her. I own some of the, probably one of the biggest private collections of comic book original art from her. her comic book run. So it's pretty good. I mean, I work with Marvel, but I love DC equally.
Well, I guess that's going to lead me to ask, too, being that I was there last year at the AC Boardwalk Convention, they have a huge Wonder Woman display. Is that by chance your display?
I don't know how that happened. I don't know where that idea came from. Yes, that's 100% me. I actually had become friends online with a bunch of Wonder Woman people, fans from around the world. And I'm talking like New Zealand, Mexico, everywhere. And one of the people who comments on all the boards happens to be the granddaughter of the creator of Wonder Woman. And
wow.
Christy Marston. And she is very private. She doesn't comment that much, but I got to know her and she got to realize that I wasn't a fanboy who just like, oh, Wonder Woman can beat up Superman. Like I was really interested in the psychology of the character. You know, her grandfather who created the character actually invented the lie detector test. Which is why Wonder Woman Lasso actually compels you to tell the truth. He was a psychologist and a lawyer, as was his wife. And they were in a polyamorous relationship with a girl named Olive that long after he died in the 40s, her grandmother and Olive stayed a couple up until their death, you know, only a couple of years, you know, maybe like a decade and a half ago. And Wonder Woman's mind is based on his wife and body and look is based on the polyamorous woman Olive. So the fact that I was like into the whole background, she and I became friends. I went up to Connecticut to her home where she has a Wonder Woman museum. Her father's still alive, who's the son of William Marston, and got to know them very well, was instrumental in getting them to meet Linda Carter. And for them to become friends with Linda Carter. And she agreed to let us bring some stuff that's never been out of her house before to the museum.
Wow.
And we created it. We're gonna have the museum back again this year because it's 75th anniversary of Wonder Woman. And if you saw the movie, she looks great.
Yes, she does. Yes, I'm very happy. They did very good justice to her this time around.
Yeah, no pun intended, right? But Gal Gadot was, I mean, I stood behind her from the day they announced her, and everybody railed against her. She's too thin. She doesn't have boobs. She doesn't look the part. She's Israeli. She's not Greek. You know, she has an accent. And I'm like, you know what? We wanted a Wonder Woman in a movie for so long. Let's support her and see what they do with her before we castigate her, because that's what Wonder Woman would do. And I stood behind her, and I took my mother, who I made dress up as Wonder Woman when I was 5 years old. My mom looked just like Linda Carter. I took my mother and my stepfather and my partner in Augusta, Georgia, to go see the movie opening day. And I stood up and cheered at the top of my lungs in a huge IMAX theater when she came on the screen. And people started throwing popcorn at me. It was awesome. My mother's like, you haven't changed. Yeah.
Oh, that is so awesome.
Yeah. And let me give my Marvel people love, too. I want you to know something. I stood up and cheered the first time Captain America came on screen as well. It's something about the red, white, and blue with both characters. But, you know, I love my Marvel characters. I mean, Cap's my favorite, although, you know, I'm kind of partial to Thor as well. I love the comic books with, you know, that feature him from way back when in the Golden Age. They're some of my favorite reads that I'll just pick up time and time again to read. So I do love my Marvel as well.
You have to love both.
Well, especially because I work with them, I have to know both. I have to know them inside and out. And you know, the great part about it is that it just evolved organically. But I'm on stage for over half to three quarters of San Diego Comic Con and New York Comic Con, dealing with the fans, dealing with the celebrities, hosting the celebrities when they're on board, hosting game shows, doing giveaway hour. So I have to know trivia, and I can't just say, so what is, you know, Thor's hammer's name? I mean, everybody knows it's Mjolnir. I have to come up with like deep, deep trivia to know this stuff. And, you know, I love it because it's like homework, but it's awesome because I get to read comics for homework.
Right. That's awesome. You guys hired?
It's if I had a dollar for every person who offers to work. And the funny thing is, we sometimes take them up on it. There have been fans that I have hired who I see year after year after year at shows and just beg me to hire them. And actually, here's a quick little funny story about that. I was at WonderCon, which was up in San Francisco at the time, still at the Moscone. And these like six or seven guys came by, and they all wanted, at random times, they all wanted to intern for my company. Okay, great, no problem. Here's my card, drop me an email. And the one guy who I really thought would be great, because there's a lot of physicality to what we do, because we actually physically build the sets. Not only do I design them, but we physically build them. And then we have to run them. So you have to be somewhat strong and able to do this work. I mean, sometimes we're climbing 30 feet in the air rigging stuff with the union guys. So this guy kept going back and forth with me all year long to try to get an internship at San Diego. And I finally said, yes, great, come on down. Just show up, at, you know, call us when you're outside the convention center, and we'll walk you in and we'll show you what we're doing, and I'll introduce you to the team. It wasn't the guy I thought. It was some short, like, 350-pound guy who was like 18 years old, who I don't know how he got my card, but I thought he was somebody else. That kid interned for me for like six shows. He was unbelievably good. I don't, still don't remember his full name. I call him Fluffy. But that, you know, you can be a fan and you can get hired. And I'll fly you around the country and have you work with us. And, you know, as long as you don't fanboy in front of the celebrities, then I'm good.
Right, right. Now, speaking of the displays, like, do you have to, like, say, like, with Atlantic City Boardwalk Con, when you, like, have your date set up, do you get, like, a blueprint of the floor, and then you have to sit there and design each section out first? Like, where are you going to
put
stuff?
We get an empty slate blueprint of the entire hall.
Okay.
And that's all they give us. And then from there, I sit down with one of my guys, Sean, who's amazing, and again, a fan. He was working at Superhero Stuff, and that's how I met him, and I stole him, and he's been working for me now for 3 years, and he's one of my closest friends. But the two of us sit down, and we literally plot out every single booth, every experience, down to the inch, like down to literally how many inches is this, how many inches is that.
Wow.
So – yeah, it's a lot of – I don't think people know how much work goes into planning a show or even a booth. I mean, sometimes at San Diego, I'll have 9, 10 booths at, you know, for different companies at the show. And you have to know everything about everything. It's you have to know electrical. You have to know internet. You have to know how much speed you need on the internet for the pipeline going up versus the pipeline coming down. If you're going to run, we do a video wall at Marvel, and it's like 44 feet long by like 18 feet tall video wall with a revolving stage in the middle. Okay, I need to know how much power I need to have that running and still run all the video game systems, the microphones, the speakers. I didn't go to school for this. I went to school for acting and clinical psychology. Like, you know, and my parents laughed because they're like, you call us to come over and change light bulbs. I'm like, yeah, because I'm not getting paid to change the light bulb in my house. So I'm not going to do it. You guys come over and do it. That's what parents are for. So, yeah, it's a lot of learning on the job, and it's a lot of trying to figure out solutions. Our compromise, our slogan, I should say, is always thinking, never compromising. Because Marvel or 2K Games or Konami or Gazillion, any of the people, Boom Studios, any of the people that we work with, they don't care if something got damaged in shipping. They don't care if the unions are being pains in the butts. They don't care if, you know, someone's flight got delayed so they couldn't get in and we're shorthanded. They just want what they're paying for and what we agreed to be put on, and they want to be able to do their job. That's my job, is so that they can do their job. So we have to always, always think about what are the alternatives and how do we make this work. I mean, I'll give you a quick story. If you have 2 minutes for a quick story. Kind of funny.
Absolutely.
All right. So in 2011, Avengers was coming out. So we were prepping throughout all 2011. We were showing the Avengers helicarrier set at San Diego Comic-Con and then at New York Comic-Con. So I flew out to Albuquerque. I went on set. It was built out full scale. And I sat down and went, after much deliberation on what parts we were going to take, I was like, all right, I'll take this whole section here. And I marked like every piece that we needed on the back of the walls of everything. The grip who disassembled the set and put it in the truck and shipped it out from Albuquerque to San Diego neglected to put one wall in and never told us. And on Tuesday night, show opens Wednesday, it was one of the supporting walls. And we're sitting here going, where is this wall? And we're walking through all the docks. We're looking at everybody else's booth, thinking maybe it got delivered to somebody else's booth. They never delivered the wall. So I literally had to go take a chip of paint, go to Lowe's, color match the paint, get wood, build a set to support it so that Joss Whedon could walk on the stage and not know that this wall was not part of his original set. And we did it. We absolutely got it done. You know, I mean, it's not easy, but you just figure it out and you sweat a lot. A lot.
Wow.
Don't come hug me at Comic-Con unless you really want to get a true understanding of what goes on for a show.
Now, how long, I mean, you guys do the AC one, which your first one was last year, and I mean, it's a year later. So does it truly take a year to pull off something this big?
The first one took a year and a half. Because you're starting from advance. I mean, I looked at every city. I didn't arbitrarily pick AC. I looked at every city. I wanted to see what was best for us. I mean, AC is certainly one of the more expensive cities. But, you know, I'm a big believer in New Jersey, being a Jersey guy since, you know, I'm probably 8 years old. So I wanted to do it here. But, I mean, I looked at Austin. I looked everywhere. So that's the biggest problem. Then after that, you end up having you know, you have to try to figure out what your marketing plan is and how to, you have to do all your demographic research and psychographic research, and you have to start building and assembling your team. And, you know, it's not something that people think you just turn around and say, I'm doing a con, and everybody walks up to you and says, here's $1,200. I want a booth. That's not what happens.
Right.
And in fact, for most smaller shows or newer shows, we're going to get 50% of our show floor. We'll come in May 1st through May 11th, 50% of the show floor will call me and want booths because they don't want to part with their money because they're mom and pop. They don't want to part with their money a year in advance or whatever. So, you know, you're constantly working and juggling everything. And, you know, you have to learn and adapt. I mean, when I started with Marvel 10 years ago, social media didn't exist. Social media was me blabbing my mouth. You know, there was no Facebook or anything. So now we have to learn how to work with social media. We have to learn how to work with the bloggers and the podcast people. And, you know, you have to adapt continually. And I graduated college in 94. I had a 286 kilobyte computer with a 1400 baud modem, and I was on Prodigy. Nobody taught us this. You have to learn this on your own and you talk to like anybody under the age of 18 because they'll teach you. But that's so crucial to getting this show up and running. It's the social media marketing, et cetera. And, you know, look, we had another show last year that point blank, the guy who ran the show told me, I will put you out of business. And he moved his show to a week before our show on purpose to try to put us out of business. And it absolutely affected us. Absolutely. Thank God he resigned this week from Wizard World because I personally can't stand the guy. And he plays dirty, which I think is why they asked him to leave. That said, we won't do that. We will always try to work with, okay, you have to be at another show. You can't do our show this year. Great. Please do our show next year. Okay, we're looking for a date for our show. Let's see what else is on the convention calendar so that we're not conflicting with anything that's in our region. So we're not pulling fans from somebody else because we don't want to take money out of somebody else's pocket. That's literally how we do it. But I think we're rare. I mean, you know, the rarity of being somebody with a conscience in this industry is not normal.
Well, you know, it's funny because when I was in attendance last year, that was like going into it, that was my thing. Like, wow, like, why are they doing this the week after Wizard World? It's going to hurt them. And
even as I was walking the floor,
the dealers were complaining about it. But now knowing that, Wizard World, because I knew they pushed theirs up, and I was like, why would they push it up? Well, that explains a lot.
I went to Louisville, Kentucky, to meet with John Macaluso, who was the chairman of Wizard World, about something completely different. The actor Manu Bennett and I were going to do a reality show, and we're going to do something called Miss Cosplay. And, you know, and Manu really, really felt I should talk to John Macaluso and do this exclusively with Wizard. I was against it, but because, you know, he's a buddy, I said, all right, I'll fly out there. So I sat down to talk about that, and Manu mentioned my show, and John goes, wait a minute, what do you mean your show? You're doing a show in Atlantic City? And he goes, you can't do a show in Atlantic City. That's our turf. And I went, well, it's in New Jersey. You're doing a show in Philadelphia. You do your show in the middle of June. We're doing our show in the middle of May. It's plenty of market. I did the market research. It'll work. And he goes, oh, no, that's not going to happen. We're going to change things. And like a week later, he changed the show to be a week before our show. And what he did also was what any show would do, would be that you have regulations that any of your artists or any of your talent can't do another show within a certain amount of months or a certain amount of weeks in a certain mileage from, you know, circle radius from where the show is. It's to protect your interests because you're paying a lot of money to these people. So that ended up hurting us big time. But, you know, when you're looking, it's David and Goliath. We're the little guy, and he's, you know, heads the biggest convention center, you know, mobile tour going on for Comic-Con. You know, I mean, obviously he's not at the scale of San Diego or New York, but, you know, he does 17 to 20 shows a year. Who are you going to be loyal to? Somebody who can pay you out 17 times a year, or somebody's going to pay you out once and you're taking a gamble on them? So, I mean, it definitely affected us, as did having Stan call out sick, air quotes. You know, he called me on Thursday night and said, I can't make it. And I was like, you're killing me. I've been working with you since 96. You're killing me. But if you look at his convention schedule last year, he canceled 9 shows. He, you know, he's 94 years old. He's a revered man. He can be crotchety at times. He can be a pain in the ass at times. But, you know, to fly across the country, he's not doing it unless he's getting paid big money. And he was doing this show as a favor to me out of, you know, many years of friendship. So, but it affected us. So, you know, I didn't ask him back this year. So, I didn't ask him back on purpose because I didn't want to disappoint the fans. You know, you build something up and then, you know, we can't control if the man wants to cancel. It was his right to cancel. He wasn't feeling well. So, but let's talk about happier things.
Barry, Bay Ragney here. Little break in the action because I have to pay bills. I'm sorry. We have commercial breaks. So I got 2 commercial breaks coming up. This is the first of the 2. So check out our sponsors. Check out ACBC.com, as in do ACBC.com, this weekend, May 13th through the 15th at the AC Convention Center. And you know what? When we come back from the flip side from this commercial, I'm going to give you the details on how I'm giving away a pair of all weekend passes. Stay tuned.
For $5 today, you can buy a wealth of things. Gas for your car, rent a movie for the family, a few slices of pizza. $5 still takes you a long ways. But did you know that $5 can buy your child a bag of heroin on the streets? That's right. For only $5, your son or daughter can buy some of the cheapest and purest dope in the country. Be aware of the lies. Be aware of the stealing. Be aware that's all it takes to kill your child. $5. This message was brought to you by Casey's Cause, a group of parents located in southern Chester County out to save your child's life. Come join us today at www.caseyscause.com. And remember, $5 is all it takes. Casey's Cause, www.caseyscause.com.
Looking for that perfect gift for your girlfriend? Then look no further than Teddy Scares. Teddy Scares are available in a variety of styles, sizes, and prices for all your shopping needs. Teddy Scares are a mix of cute and creepy to make a great gift for almost any age. Board up your windows, lock your doors, and log on to teddyscares.com. And be sure to become our friends at facebook.com/teddyscares.
Calling all comic book fans. Do you collect comics? Did you ever collect comics? Do you think your children might like reading comic books? Do you even know they still print real, paper, non-digital comic books? Well, then visit the Pirates of Ontario Street Comics in Philadelphia. We have a massive collection of comic books, action figures, trading cards, and much more. We have one of the largest stocks of back-issue comics in the area. We bag and board every new comic book at no extra charge. Our store is voted the best comic book shop in the 2013 PHL 17 Hot List Contest. Part of the movie Unbreakable is filmed in our store. We are open 7 days a week. Ontario Street Comics is located at 2235 East Ontario Street in the Port Richmond section of Philly. Our phone number is 215-288-7338. Type in the words Ontario Comics Philadelphia to check out our wacky stores page on Facebook.
Are you looking for a mortgage for that new home? Do you want to refinance to a lower rate, obtain cash out, or consolidation? If so, call Anthony Muscarella of Advisors Mortgage Group. Advisors Mortgage Group is a mortgage banker and loan our own money to first lien mortgage loans. We have built a platform for a seamless and stress-free mortgage process, which remains our number one goal for all of our customers. We understand that success cannot be obtained without teamwork and communication, two of our most important strengths. If you're looking to apply for a loan or simply have some questions, please don't hesitate to give Anthony Muscarella a call at 732-749-3333, extension 12, who, by the way, has been recognized by Mortgage Executive Magazine as being one of the top 1% of originators in America. That number again, call Anthony Muscarella at 732-749-3333, extension 12, where we tailor our loans to meet your needs. Advisors Mortgage Group is an equal housing opportunity lender licensed by the New Jersey Department of Banking and Insurance, branch NMLS number 173453. Loan officer, NMLS number 111400.
All right, welcome back. Total Gym Radio, the ACBC special. And here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give away a pair of weekend passes for this weekend's ACBC convention. And what you got to do. All right, here you go. So this is going to be a little bit of work for you, not much, but I just posted the link to tonight's show. You know what? To tonight's show, or should I just post the event to the convention? Let's post the event to the convention, all right? So I'm going to post the event for the convention right now. And I want everybody to go on the Totally Driven Entertainment Facebook page, okay? So go on our Facebook page. I just posted the ACBC official event, and I want you to like that post. I want you to like my page, too. Like the Totally Driven Entertainment page. Like the Totally Driven Entertainment page. Like the post and comment. It's, all right, four parts. Here we go. Like the Totally Driven Entertainment page. I'm all confused here. You gotta love this, right? The initial post with the event that I just posted. Comment doacdc.com and then share the event page out. So you have to do those four parts. Like totallydrivenentertainment.com, like the event post that I put on our page. Comment doacdc.com and then share the event with your friends. And then I'm going to pick the winner by tomorrow at noontime. Okay? So you have over 12 hours to do it, just over 12 hours. So do it now, and let's get back to the interview. Here he is, Michael D'Alessio. Well, how about, not even just Wizard World, but, I mean, there's truly conventions every weekend anymore. Does that hurt you, do you think, or hurt any other conventions with so many going on nowadays?
Well, I think, you know, having been to my show last year, one of the biggest compliments we got, and I'm not talking from just from the mom and pops, I'm talking from industry leaders, like the EVP of Marvel, some of the top artists out there, some of the top actors who travel on the convention circuit, they said, Mike, your show wasn't a first-year show. Your show looks like a fifth-year show. Like, it was done,
absolutely,
and it was done really well. And I was very proud of that because I put a lot of effort, I mean, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, and a crap load of money. I could have retired this year. I put a crap load of my retirement into it. So, you know, I was planning on retiring at 43, and then I decided, oh, let's do a show. But the thing that we did differently, I think, was a point of differentiation. Last year we focused – every year we're going to focus on something different. So every year the show will evolve. So you're never going to come and see the same type of show. So last year we really wanted to bring in publishers. That was our big, big thing. And if you look at it, okay, we had Marvel with a bigger booth than they've ever had at any show on the North American continent. So we had Marvel,
right,
there. We had Boom there. We had Zenoscope. We had Valiant. We had, you know, all these publishers. Every other show would kill to have them. You know why I know? They call me about Marvel and they call me about Boom because they're my clients. So I – and Top Cow, et cetera. So we focused last year on that. This year, we're focusing on interactivity. So the show floor looks different than last year. The show floor has a completely interactive approach to everything. You want to come in and do lightsaber battling. We have a battle arena. Think like Welcome to Thunderdome kind of deal, where
nice.
You know, last year we had the lightsaber battles going on, you know, in a panel room. This year we have them, you know, going on the show floor so everybody can watch. And that's huge. You know, we've got a kid zone with total interactive areas specifically aged for kids under the age of 14. And yet it also allows the kids to be involved with everything is thematically superheroes. And we've got a jousting area. I mentioned the Star Wars area. We've got panels that are actually taking place on the show floor. Nobody else does that. So we have panels that are being done in the Hall of Justice and the Hall of Doom that are actually taking place where you can sit there and watch and not have to leave the floor, walk up five flights of stairs, find a room, and sit in a classroom like you are in college. This is trying to make it much more interactive. We have a game show that's completely interactive that I hope you come to on Saturday night. It's the first time this game show is ever being done at a convention. We kind of took the idea from Royal Caribbean Cruise Lines, and it's called Conquest. If you've ever taken a Royal Caribbean cruise, it's called The Quest on their game show. We literally pee our pants when we do this on the cruises. So we are hoping that the fans are going to enjoy this. And then, of course, we're going to push everybody over to the nightclub over at Caesars, Boogie Nights, because that's where the after party is going to be on Saturday night. Everything's interactive this year. Everything's going to be interactive. Wow. Yes, we're going to have vendors. Yes, we're going to have artists. Yes, we're going to have celebrities. And our celebrities are actually in the middle of the show floor this year, smack in the middle, so that you can't miss them. And you are able to sit there, and they're able to feel part of the action, and they're able to watch what's going on. You can go walk by and wave to them. Everyone we talked to said they'll talk to anybody. You don't have to buy a ticket, you know, to come up and just get their autograph. You want their autograph, you got to pay for it. You want a photograph, you got to pay for it. Right. But you want to come up and say hi, they're open to it. They're very – very cool. And I don't know if you saw the news that we announced this weekend and then last night, but we announced Ming-Na Wen from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. On Friday night, who's amazing. I don't know if you've ever met her in person or not, but she's the voice of Mulan. She was on ER for years. She's 53 okay. and obviously has found the fountain of youth because she looks like she's about 21. She's one of the most gorgeous women I've ever seen in my life, and she's kick-ass on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And then just this morning, we announced Tyler Hoechlin. If you're not familiar with Tyler, was Teen Wolf, the lead on Teen Wolf up until this past season. He just left, which has a huge following on, you know, from MTV. And he's also going to be the lead in the new 50 Shades of Grey movie that's coming out. So women are going to be falling all over him. And I wish I was able to get him signed. We were trying to get him signed for a couple of months. I wish I was able to get him signed about a month ago, because I would have put his face all over billboards in New Jersey, and that would have helped. And, you know, we're very sad about this. We were going to get Joe Manganiello because he's doing Pee-wee's Playhouse. And unfortunately, I don't know if you saw the news, Joe was signed, you know, in agreements with us. I won't say signed, but in deep agreements with us. But then, I don't know if you saw the news, he suffered a really bad appendicitis last week. The same thing that I had, which weighed me up for, I was hospitalized for 9 days with it. And I believe he's still in the hospital, and he's going to be laid up for a couple weeks. So he can't make the show. He's really upset over it. But we were going to love to have him because, you know, with Pee-wee's Playhouse coming out again, and he's not just a star in it, but he's also the mastermind behind it. So it would have been great. But we have some other great celebrities that are there as well. So this year is all about interactivity.
Now, how about that with the celebrities? I mean, how going back to you know, the evil competition, we'll say, I mean, they put their shows on and they bombard the shows with outrageous prices for you know, the chance to get an autograph or a picture with these guys or girls, to where it also hurts like vendors or artists and stuff like that. Is that a way you think you guys might scale it back? Because, I mean, last year you guys had a really big lineup of celebrities, and this year it seems scaled back a little.
Well, we did. We listened to the fans. I did focus groups after the show. I spent the whole summer and fall doing focus groups, and we had almost 30 celebrities last year, if you count the voiceover actors, et cetera. And, you know, some of them were dicks. I will say, William Shatner, never meet your idol. Complete dick. Burt Ward, Adam West, complete dicks. But you know, I mean, look, they're gracious to the fans, and that's all that matters. Working with them is difficult. But I will say that we scaled it back on purpose, because if you come in and you're there just to autograph hunt and you're going to spend all your money there, that means you're not going to spend your money on the show floor. And we want our vendors who are coming to be able to make money as well. When you bring up like a Wizard World or even like a Salt Lake City, and full disclosure, I've advised Salt Lake City a couple of times on their show. I really like those guys. They're fantastic. If they were able to get publishers, I think they'd have an amazing show. And they've been coming to me for publishing to get publishers there. But I will say they bring a ton of celebrities, a ton. And as Wizard World does too. You look at it and you can blame the show probably 70%, and you can blame the agents probably the other 30. When I tell you there's a certain Star Wars actress that just debuted this year, I won't say who she is, but she might have been carrying a blue lightsaber, who we were really interested in getting, she's not doing the shows. And the reason she's not doing the shows is we found out from her agent she's waiting for an offer of 1 million British pounds for her first appearance. I'm sorry. There's no way a show, and that might just be allegorical, but that's what the agent told me. But there's no way a show can recoup the money on that. You know, you look at Chris Evans was $175 for one day, $175,000 for one day. That doesn't include airfare, per diems, hotels, flying out his entourage, et cetera. And I know Chris. Chris is awesome. Chris is like one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. It's the agents that set the fee, and they know they can get it. And you know, you sit here and you go, all right, these are guarantees. If they don't make it, we have to pay. So what happens right. is the show says, let's limit our liability, so let's jack up our prices. And let's say, you know, for XYZ celebrity, we're going to charge $200 for an autograph. Well, I mean, now that they got it at one show, now they have the ability to go to another show and say, well, I got it at X show, I can get it at Y show. And it just perpetuates over and over and over again. And it becomes – you're pricing out the fans. And
totally.
I understand you have to make your money because, look, you get somebody like a Daisy Ridley who may or may not be who I was talking about before. You know, she didn't get paid a lot for Star Wars. She's getting paid a lot for the next one. But they're offsetting their income by making their money doing these shows. Almost all these actors do. They don't get paid a lot on the series or the movie, but they can make it on the autograph circuit. And that really is their bread and butter. So I can understand wanting to get as much money as you possibly can, but when it affects the fans, it actually becomes a piss-off factor for them, and it actually turns the fans. I mean, I'm lucky.
Yeah.
I work in this industry. I don't need to go up and pay for someone's autograph. I can literally walk up to almost any actor and introduce myself, if I don't know them, to their agent and get a hug and introduction and et cetera. But not everybody has that type of ability that I have because of what I do for a living. But if I make good money, I'm not going to go to a show and spend $200 for John Barrowman's autograph or for Gwendolyn Christie's autograph. It's just not going to happen. And I love John. John's awesome. He's a great guy. Gwendolyn Christie, wonderful woman. I can't justify that in my head. And that's a problem. And I feel for the fans because, you know, you come to the show, and if you go to New York Comic Con, and I know you've been there, you know, you're paying $60 for parking. You're paying for your $40 or $50 for your ticket to get in for the day, if you can get the ticket. And then you're paying everywhere you go for an autograph, you're paying out tons and tons of money. And it's like, okay, then maybe we should not have the vendors there. Maybe we should just do an autograph show. And that's actually what Fan
right.
Expo is out in Salt Lake City. The Salt Lake City guys do that in the spring, in the April. They just do autographs. They have some vendors, but they focus on the autographs because that's where people are going to spend their money. And it's rough. I feel bad for any fan who's, you know, like a teenage kid or, you know, somebody in their 20s or something like that who doesn't make $100,000 a year and can't afford to go out there and get an autograph. But they really want to meet the person. I mean, I paid for one autograph in my life, one autograph. I paid for one of the Charmed girls for an autograph for my niece. And I do love the show. And I went up to Holly Marie Combs at Wizard World Philadelphia, and she had nobody online. And I walked up and I just started talking to her, and I let her know that I was friendly with Shannon Doherty. And, you know, so I let her know who I was, and I wanted to give her the $20 for an autograph for my niece. And she goes, keep your 20. She goes, I just love talking to you. And that's the type of celebrity you want. You know. Oh,
yeah,
Sean Astin. Sean Astin, you know, from Lord of the Rings. Same thing at C2E2 Chicago about 4 years ago. He was there, and there was nobody on his line. And I was like, holy crap. I mean, this is Goonies. Like, why are people not? I've never seen Lord of the Rings. I'm not a Lord of the Rings fan. But, like, Goonies. So I went up there, and I talked to him for 45 minutes about him. his career, Goonies, his mother, you know, unfortunately just passed away. His brother was on Facts of Life, his dad. I mean, his stepdad, I talked to him. He just was the nicest guy in the world. I never gave him $20.
Wow.
But it's very rare to get celebrities like that.
But you know, it's funny that you say that because it also seems more and more that, like, I was at a convention this past weekend, and there was a ton of celebrities there, and their lines, I was there for 2 days, their lines were empty for 2 days. Then you feel bad because they're just sitting there, like.
Well, that's why we don't bring wrestlers to our show. We don't bring the wrestlers to our show because I feel bad. I go by all their booths, and there's no line for them unless you're John Cena. And I don't want to tell you what John Cena's people want. He won't even talk to you for less than $100,000.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And again, John's a great guy. I mean, he's a great, great guy. If not the actor, I want to be clear about that, it's the agents. So,
right.
But if you get a good, reputable agent like Aaron Gray, you know, from Silver Spoons and Buck Rogers, and, you know, if you get Aaron Gray as a big agent in the industry, if you get somebody like her on your side, she's pretty honest. She's very much a fair woman. She's and as is all of her team. They will let you know. Well, they're getting this at this show, but let me see if I can work with them because you're a smaller show. Let me see what I can do. And you know, she'll make an offer. You know, she'll go out and present an offer. She's somebody that you want to work with. Then you get some these other agents, and they're shysters. They're like used car salesmen. But it's a game you have to pay. And I feel bad for these unquote celebs because I was on a radio station this morning and WZXL down in Atlantic City, and they were telling me about Butch Patrick, you know, Eddie Munster. And they were telling me a story that Eddie Munster goes to adult clubs, like adult strip clubs, and he'll sit there and with a table and try to sign autographs, and nobody's paying attention to him. I mean, that's your worst thing. No one's going to pay attention to you there. There's something else to distract you. But this is how he makes his money, and he doesn't make a lot of money. And they were telling me another story about some kid from Nightmare on Elm Street 4. I've never seen the movie. He was at a convention up in New York, upstate New York. He didn't sell one autograph the entire time, and he actually had to turn around to one of the other actors and ask him for bus fare to get home. And, you know, that's got to be disheartening and horrible to be that person. But you also have to realize the extent of your celebrity. Just because somebody says, hey, I'll give you a free table, doesn't mean you should go do it. Because, you know, maybe not anybody really needs an autograph from you or wants an autograph from you. And I don't mean that disparagingly. I'm, like, trying to save them the embarrassment.
Sure, sure. Wow.
So,
that's right.
Yeah, if you ever want any of your listeners to know about the ins and outs of convention, hit me up. I'll give you the back, and I have no holds barred. I mean, I'll certainly tell anybody the information because who knows? And somebody listening might want to run their own convention. I don't want them to make the mistakes that I've made, but I want them to have the successes that I've had.
Well, that's awesome for of you right there.
Yeah,
How many people do that?
I did not get to where I am without asking people for advice and for help. And I've been very lucky. Two of my old bosses from the 90s who were my mentors are in this industry. And when I worked for them, we weren't working in comics. We were working in like banking and toys, doing marketing for that in New York. But they're in this industry now. And I run into them at shows and they come up and, you know, they're in their 60s and 70s. And they come up and say, you know, to me, I am so proud of the work you do. Like, I am beyond proud. And that still, at 43, makes me feel awesome. But it's also great when I can turn around to my employees and like, see, I worked for this guy 20 years ago. Think of how many employees he's had since. And yet he knows everything about me. He still comes over out of his way to come bring me a cup of coffee and say, I'm proud of you. That's when you know you've kept a great reputation and you do things well and you don't stab people in the back. And if you have that philosophy in this industry, you'll do well because this industry is really small, ridiculously small. Hmm. Everybody knows everybody and everybody talks. Yeah, everybody talks.
Oh, I'm sure they do. Now, how about like as it's getting closer now, and again, there's conventions all, you know, throughout the country every weekend. Do you feel more pressure as being the person behind this to put this on and to make it, you know, the con that you can to compete with other conventions?
No, I don't feel that pressure. I feel, and I'm being as honest, I'm not being like, oh, let me say the right PC thing. No, I don't feel that pressure. You know who I feel the pressure from? Myself. That's it. Because I have won Best in Show by IGN for Marvel at San Diego. I won Best in Show for 2K video games, for BioShock and for Darkness. I've won so many awards in this industry for experiential marketing, et cetera. So I believe in constantly reinventing yourself and constantly pressing yourself to be better is why we're changing the focus this year. You know, we're going to change the focus every single year because I want the fans to come and never know what to expect. I don't want them to come and know, well, I went to a show last week and I missed something there last week, so I know I can buy it at the next show because they have the exact same thing and it's just a different venue. I think that's boring.
Right.
I mean, to me, you walk up and down these aisles, how many of these people who go to these shows every week, how many people are digging in their pocket and supporting any of these vendors? I don't see a lot of people doing it. So I want to change things up. You know, I think next year we're going to be very much a heavy art show. We've already lined up a couple of sponsors for next year for art. And I want to really focus on the creative side of it, art and writing. You know, and then maybe in, you know, for year four, we'll focus back on publishers again. But I want to make it so that the fans have a great experience. I'm not in competition with Salt Lake City. In fact, I'm on the phone with those guys all the time. They're amazing. Dan Farr out there. He's fantastic. Wizard World, I really don't like them. I really don't. I mean, to be honest, I can't stand them. And I used to do their shows. I used to bring five or six huge booths to their show. And I think it's gone downhill.
You know,
once Garib left.
That's general consensus, though. From people I talk to, nobody really likes Wizard.
Well, they just lost $4.7 million. And you know what John McAlusa's salary was in 2014? $1.35 million. So, you know, you look at it and go, okay, there's a problem here. It's a problem. You know, but when Garib, one of the brothers who created Wizard World, was running it, and, you know, I mean, listen, we can talk about Garib and the IFC, the International Fight Club, and what that did and his divorce and how it ruined him and blah, blah, blah. But I used to bring four or five booths, like 50 by 50s and 30 by 30 foot booths to the show in Chicago because I thought it was better than San Diego. I mean, I would convince my clients to not do San Diego and go there. I thought it was a great show. So, yeah, but, you know, talk about other shows like WonderCon, San Diego Comic-Con, you know, they're the same company. They're Comic-Con International. They're like, how do we help you? How can we help you? What if you have any questions, call us. Reed Pop, all the people over there, Larry Sanabridi, et cetera. Mike, what do you need? Call us. We'll give you advice. It's totally fine. That's awesome. It's not, and I don't know if other shows have that access to it. Even Mary Campbell, I don't know if you know Mary. Mary puts on a show down in South Jersey. I met Mary online. That's how I got to know her.
Okay.
Way before I ever did my show. Couldn't be lovelier. And she's doing a small show. I think they do like 1,000 people. You know, but she couldn't be lovelier. And she couldn't want to help us more. And that, to me, is the way it should be. We shouldn't be in competition with anybody else. You're only in competition if you're putting out the same product. If you're McDonald's and you're Burger King, you're putting out basically the same product. But then along comes Wendy's, and they're putting out something completely different. It's fresher. It's still hamburger-based, but it's fresher. It's got a salad bar, et cetera. That is what we're trying to be. We're trying to be the salad bar. We're trying to be something different, if that analogy makes any sense. I don't want to be Burger King or Jack in the Box.
It does. Now, you mentioned that, like, how next year will probably be a focus towards artists. And it seems like – it's funny. I was literally just saying this this past Sunday to an artist I know that does a lot of the conventions in the area. I was at his booth the other day and we were talking, and I was pointing it out to him that more and more at these conventions, I'm seeing less actual vendors and more artists taking over.
Yes, and that's a good thing and a bad thing. So it's a good thing because I believe that artists and writers and inkers and letterers are not celebrated enough in this industry, which is why we're going to focus on them this year. But it's a bad thing because there are a lot of people out there who fancy themselves to be artists and writers, and then they turn around and they want I want a free table. I want airfare. I want hotel. I want per diem. I was published in Marvel. And I looked him up going, you did a one fill-in page in 1996. You're not published. You know, you're not somebody who's going to draw tickets to us. And really, when a show gives away free tables and airfare and stuff like that, you're doing it because you're showing respect for the creator, but you're also knowing that they're going to promote you to their audience and people want to see them there. Like, we had Mark Brooks last year. Like, Mark is doing the most amazing art. I'd say he's the best painter out there next to an artist out there next to Alex Ross. And, you know, Mark is a great friend of mine, so I was thrilled to have him there. He and his wife were major supporters. They can't come this year. They're in China for a show. But, you know, you sit there and you go, people will come to see them. And he did our art for our banners and our variant comic book. So people will come and pay to see him. Is somebody going to come pay to see somebody who did one fill-in page in 1996? No. That doesn't mean I don't want them at the show. Of course I want them at the show. But it also doesn't mean that I need to pay for you to make money. And that's what's happening. A lot of these other creators are sitting there and saying, I haven't been published yet, but here's my artwork, how great it is, and I want a free table because I can't afford a table. That's different. I'll sit there and say, you know what? I think your art's awesome. Let me give you a free table, or let me give you a discounted table, etc. But then you get people who are like very full of themselves, and they really shouldn't be, and demand a lot, and you're just like, you know what? It's not going to be – it's a business. You have to realize this is a business. And we are not funded. We are not funded by anybody. We are funded by Mike D'Alessio. That's who funds us. You know. Wow. So, yes, 100%. So, you know, we have to sit there and make business decisions on, you know, who we'll bring in. But I think next year, when we have the focus on creators and art, it's not just going to be about expanding our creator alley and bringing more artists and writers in. It's what are we doing for the rest of the show as well? Are we going to be able to showcase the newest technology and art? Are we going to do classes on Photoshop? Are we going to be doing classes on, you know, sequential drawing, etc.? That's what I'm talking about, where we're going to focus on it, not just from the creator level.
That's awesome.
I'm glad you like it, because you have to do a point of differentiation.
Yeah, I mean, it's something totally different than going on. It really is. And even like,
well,
like
and that's
year,
why.
Like, well, I was going to say,
that's
nature,
why
like,
we're doing
and it makes sense. Because you guys want to be the Wendy's and nobody else is doing it. All right, but here I am again, Bay Ragney, time for our next commercial break. And have you done it yet? Have you entered yourself in the contest to win a pair of passes for this weekend's ACDC convention? Well, here's what you got to do. Go on the Totally German Entertainment Facebook page. You're going to like our page. I put a post with the event for ACDC for this weekend. You're going to like that post. You're going to comment on that post, and you're going to put doacbc.com, and then you're going to share it with your friends. You're going to share the post out with your friends. All right, so do that. And I'm going to be picking a winner at noontime tomorrow. So, get entered. Win passes for you and your friend. There you go. Stay tuned. Don't go away. We've got more of this incredible interview with Michael. I got a couple minutes of commercials I got to play for you, and we'll be right back. So stay tuned.
Attention business owners, website owners, event promoters, or anyone looking to promote your product. The Totally German Entertainment Radio Network is the perfect way to spread the word of your business around the world. That's right. You can advertise at our network and be played on all of our shows at rates that are so cheap, it's a no-brainer. For more information, contact Bay Ragney at bayragney@gmail.com. To keep your business driven, stay driven with Totally Driven Entertainment.
Hey everybody, this is Nick Wilkinson from TV Nation and Totally Driven Radio and Entertainment. Sadly, each year, approximately 3.6 million children become victims of child abuse. My latest ebook, Child Abuse, The Ripple Effect, explores the long-lasting effects abuse can have on victims. Explore life after the abuse ends and how we cope with the tragedies of the past. Child Abuse, The Ripple Effect is available on Kindle for only 99 cents. And don't forget to check out my website, actingnotreacting.com, a common sense approach to teens in crisis. Let's work together and make this world a better place. And remember, stay driven.
Are you a fan of Sherlock Holmes? Letters from Holmes offers unique, one-of-a-kind letters from the world-famous detective himself. Handwritten on 8.5-inch by 11-inch aged parchment paper and using smudge-free ink to produce original, high-quality letters that fans will treasure for years to come. Each letter is handcrafted and written from the perspective of Sherlock Holmes, mimicking Holmes's native tongue and embracing many of the famous detective's quirks, quips, insults and peculiarities. Order a love letter, birthday greeting, personal correspondence or more only at www.etsy.com/shop/lettersfromholmes.
Are you looking for a mortgage for that new home? Do you want to refinance to a lower rate, obtain cash out, or consolidation? If so, call Anthony Muscarella of Advisors Mortgage Group. Advisors Mortgage Group is a mortgage banker and loan our own money to first lien mortgage loans. We have built a platform for a seamless and stress-free mortgage process, which remains our number one goal for all of our customers. We understand that success cannot be obtained without teamwork and communication, two of our most important strengths. If you're looking to apply for a loan or simply have some questions, please don't hesitate to give Anthony Muscarella a call at 732-749-3333, extension 12, who, by the way, has been recognized by Mortgage Executive Magazine as being one of the top 1% of originators in America. That number again, call Anthony Muscarella at 732-749-3333, extension 12, where we tailor our loans to meet your needs. Advisors Mortgage Group is an equal housing opportunity lender licensed by the New Jersey Department of Banking and Insurance. Branch NMLS number 173453. Loan officer NMLS number 111400.
All right, welcome back. Here we go, it's Chili Joe Radio, and we're getting ready to continue with the final part of our interview with Mr. ACDC himself, Michael D'Alessio. But remember, we're giving away a pair of weekend passes for ACDC this weekend at the Atlantic City Boardwalk Con. And all you got to do is, it's four parts. Go on Facebook. Go on the Totally Driven Entertainment Facebook page. Like our page is part one. Part two, like the post with the ACDC event. Comment on that post, doacdc.com, and share the post with your friends. And I will pick the winner tomorrow at noontime. And if we get a bunch of people, maybe I'll give away two sets of passes. You never know. So let's get back to the interview. Here he is, Michael D'Alessio.
Now, what were you saying? I didn't mean to cut you off. As your listeners probably don't know, I'm on a phone call, so I can't see when you're about to speak.
I was at the convention last year, like I said. And, you know, I enjoyed it so much and had a great time. And it did have a different feel than the other conventions. And it actually bothered me, like, that, you know, because of the being the week after Wizard World, that, you know, you could see that it was hurt a little by that. And it bothered me. I was like, people are missing out. Like, this is a much more enjoyable con than Wizard World, that people should have been here instead of there.
Thank you, because that's the overall consensus that we got as our feedback, was that people were so upset that other people didn't come. And, you know, the same thing is happening this year, even though Wizard's 2 weeks after us. You know, you look and you sit there and say, are they pulling from us? Absolutely, they're pulling from us. We hurt them last year. They had their lowest attendance for a Philadelphia show that they've ever had. We definitely affected them. But, you know, by being 2 weeks after us this year, they locked in all these celebs because they have them on their tours. So if you're going to do one show, you can do the other show. But if you do my show and you don't do the Wizard World show, you can't get back into the tour. And that's the unspoken word that's out there. That's what the agents tell me. And that's what the actors tell me. And the celebrities tell me, as well as the artists and creators. And that's a problem, because it's still trying to, versus saying we're a celebrity show, meaning them, you're more of an overarching comic show. We're not competing. So we can actually complement each other, and that's what I had really hoped for. But, you know, maybe I'm a little too Bernie Sanders-esque and they're a little too Donald Trump-esque, and I don't know, and I'm not voting for either of those two, so I can't so neither of them really clearly define who I am, you know.
That's funny.
I'm full of analogies today. But
cool.
I do want to I want to let your listeners know that if you want to do a show, if you ever want to put a show on, you can reach out to me. I have no problem talking. If you're serious, don't call me up and be like, I don't know, I might want to do a show one day. No, I mean, if you're serious and you've got a game plan and you want to talk with me, there's no reason not to. I'm happy to do it. And you can approach me at any show. I'm happy to talk to somebody. It's a lot of work. I don't see my partner. You know, I'm surprised I'm not divorced. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. And you work every night until 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. You're up at 6 o'clock in the morning working. You don't get a paycheck. Somebody made this accusation to me last year that because we were working on the refunds for Stanley and everybody got their refund within the 60 days, which we allotted on our website before the show even took place. Everybody got their refund. Somebody said, well, you're going on vacation with our money. And I was like, wait a minute. Let me explain something to you. The guy's like, you took a paycheck and you haven't refunded my $80. And I'm like, first off, you got a refund and I've got it here where it was accepted. So stop trying to double dip, which a lot of people did last year. And then secondly, I own another company that does exceptionally well, and I'm married to a surgeon. So, like, if I go on vacation, that has nothing to do with this show. I don't make a dime on this show. I put $750,000 of my money in last year, and I put another $550,000 of my money in this year so far. Trust me, I haven't gotten a paycheck.
Wow.
I'm doing this because, yeah, and that's not all of it. So, you know, I mean, when I explain to you, I'm doing this because I love this and I live for this. That's why. Yes, is it a business? And yes, do I want to make money on this? Absolutely. I want to do this show for 4 or 5 years and hopefully somebody will buy me and have me, you know, pay me a salary, et cetera. We have a lot of brand extensions that are happening at the show. You'll see an announcement at the show that's really, 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 really cool. So I'm really excited about it. But, you know, I put all of my retirement into this. Let's put it that way. And, you know, I'm not a wealthy man. I'm not sitting here as a multimillionaire or even a millionaire. But I put cash into this because I believe in it. And I want the fans to be happy, which is why I was sad about Stan not coming last year, which is why I was sad about the train accident happening, besides people dying, on our weekend, which affected completely the people coming from Philadelphia because they couldn't get on the train.
Right.
And then also, we had, like, the perfect storm. I just needed George Clooney there to, like, you know, film the movie for it. You had Stan not come, the train accident with people dead, and then Wizard World moving to a week before us. You know, so perfect storm. But I felt bad because I'm like, not that I put so much money in to it, but I care about the fans and I care about the vendors. Mm-hmm. And I care about the creators. So, you know, I always use this analogy in my regular promotion marketing company. It's you can create the best party, have the best hors d'oeuvres, the best wine, the best decorations. But if you don't send out the invitations and get the RSVPs, you're not going to have much of a party. But we did the invitations and we did the RSVPs and we had great food and great wine and great decorations. But if a natural disaster like Superstorm Sandy comes along and prevents people from coming, there's really nothing you can do. And that's the analogy I use because last year was like Superstorm Sandy as far as stopping everything in its track. You had nobody can get in from Philadelphia unless they drove. The train was down the whole weekend. Stan didn't show up, and a majority of people who bought tickets were coming to see Stan because he's 94 years old and he doesn't do a lot of East Coast stuff. And then you have, you know, Wizard moving their show. So it really was like a conglomerate of things that really went bad. And I'm not just taking Superstorm Sandy as using something like a national disaster and just being cavalier about it. I'm in my house right now in La Valette that was destroyed by Sandy. So trust me when I say I'm aware of what Sandy did, but I'm using it as an analogy. I don't want people to be like, oh my God, Michael used an analogy of Superstorm Sandy. It's horrible. You know? So, but you know how some people can be.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, now, I know your daughter's coming to the show.
Absolutely. Both of my daughters, yes, my wife,
I'm excited. I'm excited that your daughter, she's one of them's going to have a table, right?
Yes, actually. It's, you know, she's 18. She's graduating high school. And she's been drawing for years. And she did her first convention. She did a small one-day convention 2 months ago. And she surprised me and kicked major ass.
Awesome.
She walked away from that doing great sales, and somebody offered her to illustrate children's books.
And then
amazing.
We did another convention 2 weeks later, another one-day convention, and again, another kick-ass day in sales, and she walked away from that one with somebody offering her to illustrate his comic book. So, I mean, I'm really proud of her. She's super excited.
That's exciting. I'm looking forward to seeing her work. One of the things that I loved about going to cons in the early 2000s, when I didn't have maybe as high of a Q profile out there, people still knew me, but I wasn't as well known, was that I could walk through Artist Alley. And I could go up and down, and I always kept like $1,000 in my pocket. And I would go, and if I saw somebody had a modicum of talent, I would go up and buy art. I would then turn around and hand that art to somebody else, unless I really loved it and I would keep it. But I would turn around and hand that art to, you know, somebody who maybe wanted a piece of art and they were a fan of something. But I went and supported those artists. I didn't care if I was paying $5, $10, $20, or $30 for a piece of art. And I wanted to support them. And, you know, it's harder now because I go into Artist Alley and then everybody wants to talk about, oh, can I do your show? So you don't get to really walk through the crowds as much. But I will say that was one of my favorite parts of a Comic-Con. So if your daughter is getting exposure, you know, bully for her. That's awesome. That's awesome. I'm excited for her. And hopefully, you know, I'll be reading a comic book with her name on there as a colorist or, you know, or a penciler.
Yeah.
That'll be great.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome. So, all right, so it's coming up. You got a few weeks to go. The countdown is officially on. May 13th through the 15th, Atlantic City Boardwalk Con at the Atlantic City Convention Center.
At doacbc.com.
Now, when do you go? Do you go into a panic mode at any point, or it's just for you it's smooth sailing? You're a seasoned professional at this now.
Well, it's not smooth sailing.
Expect.
It's not smooth sailing. Nothing's smooth sailing. And you never know what to expect. I mean, I walked into last year thinking we had this thing on lock, and then all this stuff happened on Thursday. So, you know, you never know what to expect. Always thinking, never compromising. Remember that. So I never know what to expect. Is it – I don't think I'm a panic person. I mean, I survived 9/11 and didn't panic. So I'm not a panic person. I'm actually paid – really well by my clients to not panic and to be able to problem solve and think on my feet. So I think that's really the way I approach it. But that said, you know, we always hope that there's no natural disaster, that there's not going to be a rainy weekend, that there's not going to be a train accident, you know. So there's a risk involved with everything.
Absolutely. But fingers crossed, it will be smooth sailing.
Well, I hope so. I mean, I hope people come out to support it. The other thing to keep in mind is, you know, if you're supporting this, you're not putting money into Mike D'Alessio's pocket. I just want to be really upfront about that. You're not putting money into my pocket. You're putting money into the vendor's pocket. You're putting money into the artist's pocket. You're putting money into the Atlantic City community's pocket. You're supporting that. It's not for me to get rich. I work my butt off on Promo Guys, you know, my marketing agency. I'm not making a dime on this. I'm actually paying for you to have entertainment. So I really want people to come down and just enjoy it, enjoy themselves, and support the community. Because here's what's going to happen. We're reaching critical mass of the amount of conventions that are out there. And as you just saw with the announcement from Wizard World this year, they're pulling back a lot of their shows because they lost $4.7 million. So with the fact that they're pulling back, other shows are not able to exist either, and they're going to pull back. And if you want the shows to still survive, come support them. That's, you know,
absolutely.
I mean, if you want that entertainment, come support them.
That's the bottom line.
Whether it's my show
it's
or whether it's somebody else's show.
Support it. Yeah,
exactly.
People just have to come and support. Bottom line.
And we love the fans.
Cool.
We love – oh, and I do want to tell people, come on Friday. The best day is to come is Friday. Because every hour we're giving away a giveaway hour. So we're giving away something. And we're starting at the 10 o'clock hour when we open the doors, giving away. I'm actually giving it away from my private collection, a signed Alex Ross, signed Stan Lee, Jacquet framed from Choice Collectibles that has been in my private collection for a while that is not in circulation or print anymore. And it's a limited edition with the certificate on it. And I'm giving that away. And it's well worth over $2,000.
Wow.
Very so cool. we want people to come on Friday.
Nice. Yeah, Friday is a good day. I had a blast there on Friday.
Yeah, so did I. It was awesome. So, well, thank you for so much of your time. I appreciate it. I could talk for hours about this. I I really appreciate it. I'm looking forward to seeing your daughter's work. And hopefully if any of your listeners, you know, are coming to the show, I know we're giving you some passes to give out. But if any of your listeners are coming to the show, please come up and approach us. If you see us in event staff, say, hey, you know, I listen to you on Bay's show. You know, I mean, to me, I want to know who we're reaching.
Cool. Very cool. Yeah, and we're going to keep plugging away for you guys. And I can't wait to see
you. Well, thank you much. I appreciate that. Great talking with you, and I'll see you in 2 weeks.
Sounds good. Thanks, Mike.
Take care.
Take care. Bye. All right, welcome back. And there it is. There is our interview with Mr. Michael D'Alessio. He dropped some bombs in that interview, don't he? He don't hold back. It was awesome. It was a great interview. I was so freaking excited during it, which made me even more excited for this weekend. I can't wait. And they've added some new guests since this interview. One that I am so freaking excited for. She will be there on Saturday, May 14th, Miss Rosario Dawson. Cannot wait. Cannot wait. Also, they got, what else did they add? They have a bunch of cosplayers, like, Eddie Newsom, Kit Quinn, Valerie Perez, Katie Coe, Michael Wilson, The Smoke, Jay Justice, Tara Manning they've added, Giancarlo Esposito, Teddy Sears from The Flash, Edward James Olmos, Ming-Na Wen from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Tyler Hoechlin, who's from MTV's Teen Wolf, and much more. That's right. So make sure you get your geek on this weekend, Atlantic City BoardWalkCon. It is the region's hottest comic convention, and it's going to be celebrating comics, cosplay, and all things geek with exclusive guest panels, to industry professionals, including Marvel and DC artists and writers, all the way to celebrities from your favorite movie and TV shows, including The Flash, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Sons of Anarchy, Orange is the New Black, and more. AC BoardWalkCon is bringing the best to AC on May 13th through the 15th. Convention Center and tickets are on sale right now at doacbc.com, where you can find the full list of events and guests. And be sure to follow ACBC on Twitter and Facebook at doacbc for live convention updates. Be a part of the action this weekend. Visit doacbc.com for your tickets today. And before I sign off, remember, we're giving away one pair, maybe two pairs. If I get a real big, reaction from this, I just might give away two pairs. That's how I feel. So, four parts of the here you go. Simple. Go on Totally Driven Entertainment Facebook page, like our page. I put a post up with the event page for ACBC. You're going to like that post. You're going to share that post as well as make a comment in the comment section saying doacbc.com. There you go. And people, Totally Driven Radio, we are part of the Totally Driven Entertainment Network. I have a whole bunch of shows on this network. I run the network, so there you go. And we cover all worlds of sports, entertainment, music, pro wrestling, TV, movies, comic books, cons, and everything else. So go to TotallyDrivenEntertainment.com for more information. And my good friend, Mr. Nick Wilkinson, my co-host of Total Driven Radio and the TV Nation on Sunday nights at 9 o'clock, I'm going to let him read the plugs of the rest of the shows that you can hear on our network every day of the week. So until next time, remember these two important words, and I hope to see you this weekend. Look for me. I will be at in the Artist Alley at my daughter Rita Ragney's table. So come by, check out her artwork. Come say hi to me and tell me you are totally driven. See you this weekend, everybody. And Nick, read the plugs.
Are you ready to be totally driven? Totally Driven Entertainment Network has a full lineup of shows dedicated to total entertainment.
Starting on Mondays, we have the always relevant and often hilarious Hard Talk with Big Daddy and Big Booty Trudy. That's at 6 p.m. And at 11 p.m., go 8 flights up and get your mind right. Tuesdays at noon, Pro Wrestling Now with Mike Ferreira covers professional wrestling news, rumors, and one-of-a-kind interviews with professional wrestling performers and insiders. At 8 p.m., join Smith Hart of the legendary Hart family dynasty for the Hart Grapevine as he goes behind the scenes and shares his knowledge of the professional wrestling industry and some truly remarkable special interviews, too. Welcome to Hump Day, Wednesdays, 9:30 a.m., the Coco and Wee Wee Show asks the age-old question, who do you love, who do you shove? And at 8 p.m., the Give No F's Cosplay Variety Hour brings you the best in cosplay, comics, video games, and more. Thursday nights at 5 p.m., Pro Wrestling Now with Mike Ferreira returns to the airwaves to cover professional wrestling news, results, and more. At 8 p.m., Totally Driven Radio, the show that started it all, brings you the best in topical conversations, celebrity interviews, exclusive musical guests, and so much more. Your Friday night would be incomplete without a trip to Uncle Shawnee's Playground. Join Uncle Shawnee at 8 p.m. and prepare to be offended, but, you know, in a good way. At 10 p.m., don't forget the LAW Retro Wrestling Hour, bringing back the golden age of professional wrestling. Saturday mornings at 10 a.m., the Mojo Sports Show starts your weekend off with a healthy dose of sports mojo. Get the latest news, scores, results, and more every Saturday morning. At 9 p.m., Totally Driven Radio rocks. Bay Ragney unleashes his inner beast as he takes you on a heavy metal journey and looks at the music he thinks rocks. That brings us to Sunday morning, the perfect time for a big weenie. At 10 a.m., the Big Weenie Castanini Show goes live around the world. And ending the week at 9 p.m. on Sunday nights, join the TV Nation for your weekly dose of the Nerd Herd and talk all things comics, TV, movies, and pop culture. Remember, get driven, stay driven.